This is Leonard Nimoy. When we think of the people who have adventures, we generally think of young people, physically fit, in the prime of life, able to withstand the risks and rigors of the unknown. But in what book is it written that all adventure belongs to the young? Certainly not in the story you're about to hear.
Oh. I'm coming. 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 Oh, there you are.
Nadine, what are you doing out of bed?
I was trying to open the window, but my strength...
Well, you get right back under the covers. You know what the doctor said.
But it's such a lovely spring day.
No open windows. Not now when you've got your summer cold.
Such a lovely day for imagining things.
No. Now get yourself back to bed.
Our heroine is not an athlete or an explorer, but a 68-year-old old maid schoolteacher named Nadine Suggins. Her companion is Velma Krantz, also a teacher, with whom she's shared her family home in a small and pleasant Midwestern town for 40 years. So far, Nadine has led what to the passing eye would be called an uneventful life.
If you want to imagine something, why don't you read those travel brochures I brought up with your lunch, so we can decide where we're going to go this summer.
I will. I'm so excited to think we're finally going to take our trip to Europe and see all those places I've taught about in my history class all these years.
Now, here, you've got Scotland and Greece.
Ancient Greece.
No, this is modern Greece.
I know, but I've been thinking, wouldn't it be the berries if we could travel backwards in time?
And that's only the beginning of our story.
Mutual Radio Theater, a new adventure in radio listening. 5 nights of exceptional entertainment every week. Brought to you in Elliot Lewis's production of the Mutual Radio Theater. Our story, A Decent Christian Woman by Percy Grainger. Our star, Harriet Nelson.
It's a lovely spring day in the small, sleepy farming community that's the starting point of our story. The crops have been sown, the trees are coming into bloom, and everywhere there are sweet scents in the air and the promise of life.
Oh, drat. Well, just stay there broken on the floor then. See if I can. And you, you dang toast, you stay on the breakfast tray. You hear me?
Hoodaloo, said the capon.
Oh.
Belmont?
Well, come on in, Ben. Don't stand out there making a fool of yourself.
Well, how's our patient this morning?
Every year, regular as clockwork, that woman insists on her summer cold, and I have to wait on her.
And are you sure that's all it is?
What do you mean?
It just seems to me it's come a little earlier than usual this year.
Of course that's all it is. What's that you brought over?
Some sweet potato pie. I just made it this morning. Thought she might like it.
Give it to me. I'll cut her a slice and put it on the breakfast tray.
I don't know. Nadine don't usually get her summer cold till school's out. But maybe she's just trying to be cooperative.
How do you figure that?
Well, so it won't interfere with your trip to Europe. Here, I'll carry the tray.
Oh.
You've been trying to talk her into that trip ever since I can remember. But she's a homebody, no doubt about it. Ain't been out of this town in 50 years.
Watch the stairs. Mm-hmm.
I see you got some new travel brochures for her to look at.
Yeah. I'm trying to get her to make up her mind where she wants to go.
Well, she's a decent Christian woman, and that's what counts. Morning, Nadine.
Hello, Ben.
How are you feeling?
Oh, just fine. Thank you, dear. Velma, this is a lovely-looking breakfast.
That's my sweet potato pie.
My favorite. Just smell that. Ben, did you put rum in this?
No, there's a lot of good vitamin C in them taters, Nadine. Knock you right back up on your feet.
Ben?
Well, just a bird's beak, just to give it some spunk.
You know I don't drink, not even in pies.
But it's your favorite.
I know, but Velma will just have to be the one to have the pleasure.
Oh, the only surviving member of the Linden County Temperance Society.
You got everything you need?
Oh, yes. Now, you all go on, leave me be. I don't want to be a bother.
Just give a holler if you want anything.
And don't forget to have a look at those travel folders.
I will. I don't understand it, but I'm really not hungry. Well, I'll have a look at those travel folders. Maybe that'll bring back my appetite. Germany, France. Just think, me a history teacher and I've barely ever been out of my hometown.
It's not a bad place.
I know it's not.
A little on the quiet side, but that's what some people like.
All the life one needs is right... Who are you?
The name's Barnabas.
How did you get into my room?
7-league boots, magic carpet, take your choice.
Oh. Well, what do you want?
Why, that's just what I was going to ask you.
Me? I don't want anything.
Oh, sure you do.
No. I hope I've always been content.
But deep down inside...
Oh, you mean like dark desires? Goodness, I should hope not.
I mean something you've always wanted to do just for fun.
Well, I've always thought it'd be fun to go back in history, because that's what I teach at our local high school.
Any particular place and time?
Well, the flowering of the Renaissance, maybe. Or the golden age of Spanish art.
I mean really.
Really?
Great art is immortal. You'll see all that this summer. I mean, where would you really like to go? What would you like to do secretly? Something you'd never dare.
Well, just between you, me, and the wallpaper, I've always thought the Roman Empire must have been a dandy time.
All those orgies and the contempt for human life?
I've just been curious.
How about the reign of Nero?
Oh, yes. He was the worst.
It's never too late for a leopard to change her spots.
What do you mean? What's happening?
Hang on.
Kill the wretch! Kill him!
Oh! My goodness, where am I?
Don't you recognize it? The infamous Colosseum of Rome.
Those men down there, they look like they're fighting.
They are. That's the most famous gladiator of all time, Loac the Magnificent. He's Nero's personal warrior. He takes on the chieftains of all Rome's conquered nations in single combat.
I'm really in ancient Rome?
And now I'll take my leave.
What?
Have fun.
Wait! Oh, I really can't stay in a place like this. I'm a decent Christian woman.
Christian? Did you say Christian?
What?
Hey, boys! I think we just bagged some more bait for Loic.
Take your hands off of me. I've got a cold.
Here's one that don't turn the other cheek. Catch the old woman! Stop that old woman!
Oh, my goodness. How will I ever... Oh, dear. I've run right into the arena. Boys, stop that at once before you hurt yourselves. And put some decent clothes on.
Who are you?
Miss Nadine Suggins from Linton County, Ohio. And take your foot off that poor man's neck. Shame on you.
Seize that woman!
Who's the granny? Am I supposed to kill her, too?
Back, Loic. Easy, boy. Steady. You'll get her soon enough.
Let me go. What's that?
The trumpets of the emperor. He's standing up. The emperor never stands up.
Well, I don't know why not if he's got legs.
Silence! Look! He's gesturing down here.
Is that Nero?
Yes.
What does that mean?
It means he wants you brought before him.
Nadine Suggins, an old maid school teacher on the verge of retirement, is having the time of her life. Through the accommodating offices of a strange visitor to her bedroom, she finds herself transported back in space and time to ancient Rome, where in commendably short order, she's managed to land an interview with the Emperor himself. There's only one problem. The Emperor's name is Nero.
Halt! Your Excellency!
What is this disturbance in my sport? Why has the fighting stopped?
This woman, Your Excellency.
Who are you?
My name is Nadine Suggins, and I'm a history teacher in Ohio.
Ohio? Is that ours?
She's a Christian, Your Excellency.
Ah, so I might have gathered from her clothes. What kind of robe is that? Are you a member of one of these secret sects?
This is my nightgown.
Moon worshipper.
Kneel when you address the Emperor.
I can't kneel. I've got lumbago.
Pluckish old bag of bones, isn't she?
Shall I take her to the catacombs with the other Christians?
No. Make a place for her here beside me.
Why?
You interest me.
You going to try some of your famous coochie coo?
I'm an emperor. I'm not interested in coochie coo. Now sit down.
Oh, Velma will never believe this.
Who's Velma? The goddess you worship?
Heavens, no.
Comfortable?
Why, yes, very comfortable.
Would you like some wine?
Oh, no, thank you.
You're sure?
I don't drink.
An eccentric.
Your Excellency, she's obviously dangerous.
Silence! This old woman is going to help me decide a most urgent matter of state.
Me?
Yes. Look into the arena there. My gladiator has the Numidian prince pinned in the sand with his boot. And the question which perplexes me is, should the vile scum die a swift death or a lingering one?
Why, he shouldn't die at all.
Of course he should.
But I can't decide that.
Come, do not displease me.
No.
Centurion, draw your sword.
Now, make the decision I have commanded, or you die.
I can't. I'm a decent Christian woman. Oh, where am I?
Nadine?
Velma?
What's the matter? You're bathed in perspiration.
Oh, thank goodness. Oh, I am so glad to see you. I was at the sword's point.
Now, you just lie back.
He would have done it, too.
Oh, what are you blathering about?
Rome is out.
What?
We're not going to Rome this summer. No way. And to think I taught their history for 50 years.
Oh, you're delirious.
I know. And I'm not surprised.
I'm going to call the doctor.
What for?
Now, you just lie back and rest.
Doctor, what I'd like to get my hands on is that funny little man that... What's his name?
Barnabas.
Barnabas. There you are.
Now, you got back safely, didn't you?
Yes, no thanks to you.
All you have to do is say the words, I'm a decent Christian woman, and poof, back you come.
Well, why didn't you tell me that?
I forgot. But I figured you'd discover it on your own when the chips were down.
Why?
That's the phrase you've used all your life, isn't it?
And how do you know so much about my life? Who are you, anyway?
Let's just say it's been my experience that when folks reach a certain age, they begin to think about the things they never did, the things they'd like to have done, or ought to have done.
I did everything I ought to.
Or ought not to have done.
Well, I'm not interested in that.
Of course you are. And now's the perfect time to let your imagination soar.
Who else knows about this?
No one. Your reputation's safe.
Well, I have always wanted to fly.
Fly?
In an aeroplane.
An airplane?
I've never been in an airplane.
Oh, Nadine, if the good Lord had meant us to fly in airplanes, we'd have been born with boarding passes.
Well, without the aeroplane, then.
Later.
Why not now?
You can fly later, I promise. But for now, be outrageous.
Well, then, I want to see the ocean.
Nadine.
I've never seen the ocean.
Surely there's more romance in your soul than that.
What do you know about an old woman's soul? I want to see the Caribbean.
Oh, well, that's better. Any particular island?
Oh, no island. I want to be on a boat.
Any particular boat?
A sloop. Square rigged and stripped for action with 24 guns and a good stiff breeze in my face.
24 guns?
I want to sail the Spanish Main.
You want to be a pirate?
Yes. Shivering my timbers and yo-yo-hoying on the dead man's chest.
Well, I don't know...
What's the matter? Can't you do that?
Of course. But you think you're up to it?
Yes. I'd like to wave a cutlass over my head and board a Spanish galleon laden with stolen treasure. I'd like to take a little something from the rich people of this world. And think what a figure I'd cut as a pirate queen.
What secrets lurk in the hearts of little old ladies? A generalization on the subject might prove libelous, but we can say this much. There aren't any flies on Nadine Suggins, the mild-mannered old maid schoolteacher. So far, the situations that have caught her fancy would seem to be very much out of character. Thus, naturally, the question arises, which is the real Nadine?
A pirate queen on the Spanish Main. Nadine, you surprise me.
I've been poor and hardworking all my life. Never took any quarter, never asked for none. I've kept my opinions to myself, but the rich are the dust ruffle on the Davenport of society.
And you want to be a member of a roving outlaw band. Well, so be it.
Wait a minute. What ship are you putting me on?
The most infamous of all, the Revenge, captained by none other than Edward Teach, better known as Blackbeard.
Oh. Oh, my, I'm on a boat. And the flag. It's the skull and crossbones.
That's for your insolent thoughts, you dog.
Oh, dear.
You there, old woman.
Me?
You got nothing to do.
Well, I...
We don't have idlers on my ship. Every man, be he of high-born station or low, does his share.
I can do needlepoint.
Swab your decks.
I do that, too.
Sail ho! Merchant ship off the starboard bow.
Where's our drummer? Sound the call to arms, and we'll take our prize.
A prize! We've got a prize in our sights.
I want every able-bodied soul, man and woman, on deck.
Just give me a cutlass.
Here you go, Granny.
Oh, it sure weighs more than a piece of chalk.
We're cruising fast, Captain. It's a Spanish galleon, the biggest I've ever seen.
Hey, look at her. Five decks and a hold, I'll warrant, and all laden with gold. They'll give us a struggle for certain men. So I want everyone in his best fighting condition. And you know what that means. Break out the rum!
Rum?
How else do you think we get our courage up, Granny? This is no church picnic. Here, drink up.
Me?
Damn you for a sneaking puppy. Are you a pirate or ain't you?
I've never had a drop of alcohol in my life.
It don't much matter to me whether you have or not. But looky there at the enemy. The crafty rascals, armed to the teeth and hungry for blood. You dare to face them sober?
Well, I have always been curious about what it tastes like.
Go on!
After all, it's only what Ben puts in his sweet potato pie.
There's a devilish lass.
She'll drink the Latia to shame.
Question her bow, Captain.
Then give him hell in the broadside.
Poor under the cover of law. But we plunder you with no protection but our own courage.
That's right. They're a bunch of hen-hearted numbskulls.
That's a spirit. Granny, come up on the railing with me.
I'm a little dizzy.
Boys, my pirate queen.
Death to the ruling classes.
Bravo, Granny. You lead the way.
I do believe that rum's gone straight to my head.
Or your heart. Lead the way!
No. No, I can't. Thank you, but I'm a decent Christian woman. Oh, my.
Well, have more fun this time?
I'm not sure.
What's that I smell?
Where?
On your breath.
I was compelled to drink rum.
Compelled, eh? You wouldn't still be just a little bit under the influence, would you?
I don't think I should do this sort of thing anymore.
I agree.
You do?
Absolutely. Fantasies of this nature can be very rough on the system. Besides, it's time to come a bit closer to home.
What do you mean?
To think back on your own life for a moment. I believe it's safe to say you're not going to change the course of history. But what about your own life?
What about it?
What are some of the things you'd do differently if you had the chance?
Well, well, well. And how's my favorite patient today?
What?
Velma been taking good care of you?
Oh, it's you, Doctor.
Well, I was in the neighborhood, just thought I'd check in on you.
Oh, there was no need for Velma to send for you. It's just my summer cold.
Well, as long as I'm here, I'll just check your pulse.
I feel perfectly fine.
It's racing a mile a minute. I'd better give you a sedative.
I don't need that. My pulse always goes up whenever I think of Harvey Ellison.
Huh?
And remember how he robbed my father.
That's not like you to go raking up the past, Nadine.
I rake it up all the time. I'm sorry. I know it's not the charitable thing to do, but this whole part of town was once our farm. My father plowed the land all the way to Grove Street, till the Depression came and the banks foreclosed.
Well, that was 50 years ago, Nadine. What makes you think of it now?
And Harvey Ellison, president of the bank, calling himself father's friend and then robbing us like that.
Harvey's been dead 20 years.
If I'd only known the truth then, oh, how I'd love to stop him dead in his tracks.
Is that something you'd like to do?
Yes, it is.
What did you say?
And I'd cuss him out for the low-down snake in the grass he was.
Cuss? You?
Just let me see him face to face.
Hey, lady, watch where you're walking.
You watch where you're driving, Ben Creeley.
Nadine Suggins, I'm sorry I didn't recognize you right off. What are you doing downtown in the middle of the day in your nightgown?
Never you mind.
Where are you going like that, anyways?
To see Mr. Harvey Ellison, the president of the bank. Mr. Ellison?
Why, Miss Suggins, come in.
I want a word with you.
It's after 3. We're just closing up.
Doesn't matter whether you are or not. What's that in your hand?
Letters for the mail.
Such as?
Just the day's business. Nothing interesting.
No. You wouldn't happen to have a letter from my father in there by any chance, would you?
I don't rightly remember.
One that says you intend to foreclose on our farm?
How did you know about that?
You never mind how I know. I also know you've got no right to send it.
Times are very bad, Nadine.
Not as bad as you let on, Mr. Ellison. The bank's not in that much trouble. You're using it as an excuse to drive my father and others like him off land you know you can turn around and sell to developers.
How do you know?
Give me that letter.
No.
I'm going to destroy it before my father ever sees it.
It'd only have to be redrafted.
Do that, and I'll tell everyone what you're really up to behind those crocodile tears.
I'll deny it.
You've got political ambitions, haven't you?
What?
You want to be mayor? You want to be a senator?
Everyone wants to be a senator.
This scandal will ruin you.
Now, what makes you think they'd believe you?
I'll tell you why they'll believe me. Because people here know me. They know I've never raised my voice in anger in my life. They know I'm charitable.
Nadine, please, look, I'm sure we can settle this. Here, take the letter, tear it up. We'll forget all about it.
No, I'm going to tell people the truth, Mr. Ellison. And I'm going to tell you what I think of you, what I thought of you all these years. And I'm going to tell you in language that will burn your ears, despite the fact that I'm a decent Christian woman. No, I didn't mean to say that. Oh, no, I didn't.
Doctor, what's the matter with her?
I just gave her a sedative.
Where's the letter?
What letter?
I don't know. A moment ago, she just started talking of it as if there were someone else in the room.
No, I didn't mean to say that. I never should have said that.
Leonard Nimoy again, and here's the fourth act of A Decent Christian Woman.
Nadine. They've sure got you resting quietly, haven't they?
Where am I?
Your room.
It looks strange.
Same room you've slept in since you were a baby. Same room you were born in.
I don't recognize it. Did Velma change the wallpaper?
No.
She's always said I ought to. I bet she'd do it the minute my back is turned.
Well, nothing's changed for now.
Is it dark?
Yep. Nighttime.
I've been asleep?
That doctor gave you a sedative.
That doctor's Clarence Sims. I taught him his history in 1948, and he gives me a sedative.
Made you sleep real peaceful.
I've got no cause not to. No, I reckon with the life I've led, I sure don't need a sedative to sleep with a clear conscience.
You'd like to have been able to tell off Harvey Ellison, though, wouldn't you?
Oh, well, that's past. Best to be careful what you say and do when you live in the same town your whole life. And that's what I've done. Lived here for all my 68 years. Except for the 2 years I went to teacher's college. I did do that. But I came right back here, to the prettiest place on God's earth, where you've got 4 good seasons each year and honest, hard-working people who won't surprise you. I came back here to teach school, to take care of my father, and I've lived here in this house he built. This strong, beautiful house with its oaken beams and gingerbread trim.
But you never married.
No, I never married. I never did do that. But not because I wasn't asked. I was, once.
Once is all it takes if you say yes.
By the handsomest man in this town. All the girls had their caps set for him, but I was the one he asked. He went to New York, and I think he did very well for himself. Never came back here. He died 5 years ago.
And he asked you to marry him?
That's what I just said, isn't it?
What about that? Is that something you'd do differently?
You mean, would I go with him?
If you had a second chance?
I don't remember all the circumstances.
Nadine?
Yes, I should have gone with him. I was a fool not to. It would have been... I always wonder what it would have been like. Maybe better, only different. I don't know why I even go on about it now. It was a long time ago. I've forgotten all about it.
It was springtime, wasn't it? A day like today?
Summer. Early summer. I'd just come back from teacher's college.
What?
I had a cold. That was the first year I had my summer cold.
What was his name?
Linton Barlow. Such a gentleman he was. He was so handsome. He always took great care of his appearance, and that's very important in a man. It speaks well for his character.
But you had doubts about his character.
He never spoke to me without first removing his hat. I was sitting on the swing in the backyard behind the lilac bush, out of sight of the house. Father didn't like him. He said I ought to see him.
Gesundheit.
Oh! Oh, Linton, that's not nice, sneaking up like that.
May I sit?
If you can conduct yourself like a gentleman.
I can't, but I'll sit anyway.
I was afraid you weren't coming.
Why wouldn't I?
Oh, I don't know. You look so handsome with the sunlight in your hair.
Is your old man about?
He's in the house.
Oh, he's not out in the fields?
No. He hadn't the heart to hitch up the team today.
Why not? You didn't tell him about us, did you?
No, it isn't that.
Have you thought it over, my proposal?
Yes, I have.
And?
You really do want us to go to New York City together?
Of course, more than anything in the world. Oh, we'd be a great team, you and I.
Oh, but it's so far away.
So much the better.
But times are so bad now, it's so difficult to get work.
Well, that's just it. There's no future for me here. Harvey Ellison down at the bank says things are so bad.
I know what Mr. Ellison says.
I've got a cousin in New York who swears he can get me a job with the bank there. So what do you say?
I'd go anywhere to be with you, Linton, but do we have to leave so soon?
Even sooner. I've got his tickets on the evening train.
Tonight?
What's the matter?
It's just that Father needs me now.
Why?
He got a letter from the bank today from Mr. Ellison personally. They're foreclosing on our mortgage. We're going to lose the farm.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. But what good is your staying here? There's nothing you could do.
Oh, well, he wants me here. With Mama dead, he doesn't have anyone else.
Oh, Deanie, you've got your own life to lead.
I just can't abandon him. Not now. If we could wait a few weeks.
I've got to take the opportunity while it's there. Look, I'll tell you what. I can speak to Ellison this afternoon. What good's a foreclosed mortgage going to do him? What use is all this farmland to him? I'll get him to give your old man an extension, and we can send him money from New York. I'll have my job, and you could teach. Together we could help him pay off the mortgage. How's that?
You think Mr. Ellison would agree?
Well, I don't see why not. He's a swell guy. And you know he thinks the world of your father. So what do you say?
All right. Oh, Linton.
Oh, Deanie. We're on our way. The train leaves at 6.
I'll be ready to go at 5:30. Oh, but I'd better meet you at the depot. Father'd raise the roof. Well, it's going to be terribly wicked, isn't it? Riding the train together without being married. Especially an all-night train.
You'll have to promise to behave yourself.
Why, of course. And we'll go to see a justice of the peace the first thing when we get to New York.
Well,
I never thought I'd be married by a justice of the peace, but it doesn't matter so long as it's you.
Deanie, I never did say anything about marriage. I mean, not right away.
Not?
We'd get married soon enough, of course.
You mean we'd live in separate places?
No, we'd live together.
Unmarried?
Well, lots of people do it now. It's not such a terrible thing. Not if you love each other.
If you love each other, you get married.
It's not that simple. Times are hard.
That doesn't matter.
What if I can't make a go of it?
Oh, don't say that.
Well, there's no way of knowing what the future is.
Your future is beautiful. Linton, there's sunlight in your hair.
I love you, Deanie, more than anything else in the world. But I have to prove myself first.
Then we should wait.
No.
You should go to New York and send for me when...
No, you wait, and the next thing you know, you wake up and you're 20 years older wondering what happened.
But it wouldn't be right. I can't, Linton. I'm a...
What?
Nothing. I won't say it. I've said it once too often, and I won't say it now. I won't. I can't. I'll come with you, Linton. I love you, and that's all that matters. We'll go together. Linton?
Well?
What?
How did you do?
What am I doing back here?
You saw him then.
I didn't say it. I didn't say those words. It shouldn't be over yet. Why did you bring me back?
I'm sorry, Nadine. It's harder to change the past than we'd like.
But he was there. We were together on the swing in the backyard behind the lilac bush.
That swing hasn't been there for years.
I should have gone with him. He loved me. It would have been a wonderful life.
The road not taken.
You tricked me. This has all been a cruel joke. Things don't change. They don't happen differently.
That's not entirely true. You did take a swig of rum.
Oh, that.
No, it's true, and you know it. For 68 years, you never had a drop of spirituous liquor. So, you see, it's never too late for some little surprise. Well, it's time for me to take my leave.
What? Where are you going? You stay right here, Mr. Barnabas. You tricked me. Barnabas? Oh, gone, little mischief maker. And I never got to fly. There's something that had done me no harm at all. And he promised me I could fly. The little scallywag. What's happening? What? I'm floating. I'm floating right up through the ceiling. Oh, what a beautiful night. The heavens all lit up with stars. And look, the whole town below me. There's Mr. Ellison's bank and the school. My whole life. And Father's house. My house. And my room. I can see people in my room. There's Velma and some man. Ben? No, it's the doctor. What's he doing there? Doesn't he know it's only my summer cold? Same silly old thing I've had for 50 years. Ever since... Is someone in my bed? Why are they bending over it like that? Who is it? Why, it's me. Oh, and the sky is so full of stars.
Doc, I called you as soon as I heard the noise. It was horrible. Like she was gasping and all hollow inside. And there were just a few old parts rattling around.
There's nothing more we can do, Velma. She's with the angels now.
Oh, damn her anyway. How am I going to get used to that? 42 years I've lived here. She let me that front room when I first came here. And the rent the damn fool asked was so low I just never moved out.
She say anything before she died?
Why?
Because there on her cheek, there's a tear.
She did say something, but I didn't understand it.
What was it?
She looked up at me. She just stared. And she said, "More rum."
The Mutual Radio Theater is brought to you 5 nights a week at this time. Tonight's original radio play, A Decent Christian Woman, was written by Percy Granger and produced and directed by Fletcher Markle. Your host was Leonard Nimoy. Our star was Harriet Nelson. Featured in the cast were Len Berman, Loreen Tuttle, Parley Bear, Marvin Miller, Larry Moss, Barney Phillips, and Lou Horn. John Harlan speaking. Associate Director of Mutual Radio Theater is Ken McManus. Sound effects were created by Bud Tollefson. Mark Trella is production supervisor. Recording engineer, Hal McDonald. Music editor, Lee Ringette. The Elliott Lewis production of Mutual Radio Theater is a presentation of CVI.
Mutual Radio Theater has been brought to you in part by Serta, perfect sleeper mattresses and foundations, with the top comfort and deep support for firmness that feels good. And that's a healthy investment in yourself.
This is Lorne Green. Join us again next Monday at the same time for another Western story with all the impact of a six-gun.